Okay, William, here it is, chapter 6 of Uncle Key's Cafe. Well, at the last chapter, remember, we had told about Squeaky Toy running off the glacier and handing GP his Mega Mini helmet cam with voice control that he had taken from Bernie after Bernie had slapped it off his head. And he faced down the trolls and he ran away with it and he handed it to GP and then fell over, totally out of energy. And Strong Bones and GP drove back to Apple Knoll to see what they could do, and they thought he was dead. But he wasn't. He was just out of juice. And when they got in, who was driving by but 3T and Curtis and Kwame and Dr. O'Toole Telltale and the Toy Shop Witch, and they all stopped the bus and they climbed out of the Tutty Troll Train and they came over to Squeaky Toy, and 3T said, "Squeaky!" And Squeaky didn't say anything because Squeaky Toy was out of energy. And GP looked at him and he said, "I'm sorry, I think he died, I think he fell over." And 3T said, no, here, we just got to wind him up. And he reached under his coveralls and he got his crank, his hand crank, and he cranked him up. Crank, 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 crank. And as he cranked him up, Squeaky Toy opened his eyes. He looked up, then he stood up, and he bowed low, and he said, "Thank you, arigato gozaimasu, deshone." Oh, he was so happy. He was so happy. Here he was again. How'd he get here? He didn't know. All he remembered was running off the glacier and handing that silly helmet over to GP. He looked at GP, and he said, "Sumimasen, I hope you got your helmet." GP said, "Thank you." And then he looked kind of puzzled. And Strong Bones looked puzzled. And they said, what's this? And then Taro Tool Talltale, Dr. O'Toole Talltale, said, "Well, you see, this is Ningyo Ayatsuri, or Ayatsuri Ningyo, I guess you'd call him in English, but he's looks like a little Japanese boy, but he's really a Ningyo robot." Well, you should have seen everybody's hair go jump up on end, their eyebrows went up, and out of the front door came Uncle Key. And Uncle Key said, "A robot, huh? And he held out Squeaky Toy's solar array hat. And he said, "Well then, maybe he wants to put this on." And Squeaky Toy looked at the hat and said, yeah. So 3T grabbed it and he put it right on Squeaky Toy's head. And all that super sun juice just started flowing into him. Oh, he felt so much better. Oh, he felt so much better. Uncle Key looked at Dr. O'Toole Talltale and said, "Tara Tamara, I think you have some explaining to do." Well, this is true because, after all, Uncle Key was Dr. O'Toole Talltale's senior advisor and chairperson when she was doing her PhD in neuroelectrical physiology. And he liked robots, and he knew a lot about robots, but he didn't know that there was such a little robot as Ayatsuri Ningyo. And he looked at him, and Taro, Dr. O'Toole Talltale said, "Well, Uncle Key, I have to tell you, yes, this is a robot, and we have it from Mr. Nigiyoshi-san from Japan, and we're actually taking care of him to see how he does." Uncle Key said, "Well, you and I have to have a discussion." But he said, "But look, all of you," Uncle Key said, "all of you, come in. I'm just opening my restaurant. We're going to have dinner out in about an hour. You come on in, and I'll get you something to drink, and you can sit down, and then I want to hear the story." So everybody piled in. Strong Bones and the Joy Shop Witch and 3T and his friends. And GP came into the restaurant. And Uncle Key poured them all tea and lemonade. And they sat down. And then Uncle Key said, "Now, young man," he looked at GP, "you went roaring out of here. And I want to know what happened to you." Well, GP, as you know, was still kind of perturbed that Uncle Key had told him a fib. But he looked at Uncle Key and he said, "Well, okay then, let me tell you what happened." And Uncle Key said first, well, wait, now, do you have anything, did you take any pictures of the trolls? Did you have, and GP said, oh yeah. And he pulled out of his pocket his little dynamic decibel dual input digital auto recorder, remember, that he had in his tree. He said, I think I have some sounds here. I was recording them while they were throwing sticks and stuff at me. And then he pulled out his Pico Pixelator telephoto camera, which, if you remember, had been crunched when it fell on the ground, and it looked kind of broken. And he said, "I don't know if this is going to be any good." And so Uncle Key said, "Oh, boy, if we could put these up on our big TV screen up where the program area is, we could maybe see some pictures or hear some sounds." So Curtis said, "Let me look at that camera." Let me take a look. So he took the camera, the picopixelated telephoto camera, and he said, do you have any tools, Uncle Key? Uncle Key said, fancy you should ask. And he walked over to his bar, and he went behind the bar, and he opened up a cabinet, and it was full of digital micro-robotic tools. Curtis's eyes went shiny. He had not seen a tool collection like this from anybody except his father, Solomon Cuttlefish, who was, as you know, the renowned robot technician. Even though he was not a PhD, he was renowned worldwide and was almost as good as Mr. Nigiyoshi-san. But that's another story. So he pulled out a box and he said, here, young man, do you think you know how to use these tools? And Curtis looked at him and said, oh, yeah, yes. Oh, that's a little digital screwdriver. Oh, and there's a beater batter. And oh, that's an electrical probe. I can use that. And that's, he said, well, then, I think you should go at it. He turned around and Curtis said, 3T, do you have your multimedia super dynamic player? And 3T said, of course I do. Well, why don't you see if you can program this audio that he has and see if you can get that up on the speakers? So 3T said, well, I think I could do that, but where's your equipment? Then Marvel Raptrack, who of course had put in the speakers, said, well, young man, I think I can help you. And 3T said, well, I may have to program this a little bit. Do you have any place I can write? And Marvel Raptrack said, well, yeah, we do have this super, super duper 18 gigabyte laptop here that you can use. Oh, well, I think I can do that. And 3T went off with his the audio recorder, and he said, I think I can get some audio out of this. And he sat down and started working. So Curtis was working, 3T was working, everybody else sat down with their lemonade and their tea, and GP started his story. And it was all about trolls. Well, I said, I was just driving down the road, and Marvel Raptrack over there had given me directions, and obviously he gave me the wrong directions. Marvel Raptrack looked up and said, young man, didn't you go to the ridge overlooking the Troll Mountain to see the troll romp? And GP looked at him and said, no. I ended up at a glacier. I ended up right near a stream and a glacier, and that's where the trolls found me. And Marvel said, oh, you took the wrong turn. Oh, my. Uncle Key said, oh, my. And Strongbones just looked on and said, oh, yes. GP said, well, I just gotten out of the Jeep, and I was looking at the river, and I was taking pictures with my picopixelator telephoto camera, and I was going to take some audio of the birds and the fish and the stream, and I looked around, and what did I see? These three big creatures! Strongbow said, well, they're trolls, technically. Ah, these trolls! Oh my goodness, I've never seen such ugly creatures in my life. And they had huge tails, and they had muscles, big muscles. And one of them had no hair at all. He was bald. And then another one had these long dreadlocks with stones tied into it, and his hair was shaking around. And then the third guy, his hair was spiked straight up, and it was green. Ah! Strongbone said, yes, that's Grassy. And then the other two are Rocky and Bernie. Mm-hmm. He said, yes. And what were they doing? They were trashing my Jeep. Oh! And he started talking about how all the stuff the trolls had done, how they'd thrown the seats out, they'd eaten his lunch and then trashed the rest, they'd ripped all his clothes up, they were trying to pull the steering wheel off, they were pulling everything off, everything, ripping it out, throwing it away. He said, I can't believe it. Well, people were saying, really? Really? They looked at Strongbones and said, did you see this? Strongbones said, yeah, his Jeep is kind of trashed. I think we're going to have to send a truck up because it's just pieces now. Well, it's big pieces, but it's pieces. GP said, oh, and I just couldn't believe it. It was like, oh my goodness. And he was telling the story, and then he told the story of how climbing in the tree and how the trolls found him because Marvel Raptrack had called him on the phone, and the trolls started throwing sticks and stones, and Grassy tried to make a spear. And he was just getting to the point where he was going to talk about Squeaky Toy running up and fixing his cut when there was a big commotion at the door. And Uncle Key looked up and said, what? What? We're open in 10 minutes. Bang, bang, bang. Opened the door and there was Mr. Tutty. And Mr. Tutty said, Uncle Key, how come you don't answer your phone? Uncle Key said, huh? What? I've been ringing you and ringing you and you haven't answered your phone. Uncle Key looked at his cell phone and he turned the ringer off while he was listening to the story. He said, oh yeah, I see. Well, what is it? Mr. Tutty said, emergency, emergency. And just at that moment, in walked a big, huge man, big African-American man, in full uniform, and he was Major Ramses Hollyhill of the Emergency Mountain Ranger Patrol. And he was here because a film crew, a TV crew, with their holographic camera, had been shooting the troll romp. And in the middle of the troll romp, in ran this little kid. He said, well, it's a little kid. And he ran in. And some people didn't see him, but the film crew did. And when they saw him, they said, what's that little kid doing there? He's going to get totally ripped apart by the trolls. But instead, he ran in, and he picked up a something, and he put it on his head, and he ran away. And we're afraid he's on the glacier. And we're afraid he's going to be picked up by the trolls and eaten, or some bear or lion will get him. We have to find him. Marvel Raptrack looked up, and he said, oh, well, if you need to go, you can use one of my helicopters or my air lights. I'll take you right to the glacier. We can fix him. Mr. Teddy was wild. His hair was sticking out. Mr. Teddy doesn't have a lot of hair, but what he does was stick it all out. He was saying, we got to get this little kid. We can't let this little kid be out in the glacier when the trolls are all dead, sleeping. They partied all day. They partied so hard. The big old soul trolls are passing around something in big jugs, and they're all snoring. But when they wake up, man, they're going to be really, really hungover and angry and red-eyed, and they're going to be out looking for anybody who's going to bother them. Oh, it was like, we got to go. And then Strongbone said, wait, I don't think that little kid's there anymore. Huh? Major Ramses Hollyhill looked up and said, huh? And Mr. Tutty said, what? And Strongbone said, it's that little kid over there. And there, sitting on the program, under the lights, getting his hair done, having his helmet all lit up, was Squeaky Toy. And he was just sitting there, enjoying himself and listening to the story. And Mr. Tutty looked at him and said, what? And Major Hollyhill looked at him and said, really? You're not on the glacier? And then at that moment, the door opened again, and in came a camera crew. Oh, my goodness. There were two holographic cameras. There were three reporters. They had microphones out. And they said, what? Repeat that. Strongbone said, oh, are you the camera crew that videotaped the rescue of the hat on Troll Mountain? I said, yes, we are. Well, that's the little kid that went in. I think he was trying to recover his hat. Uncle Key looked over and said, see the hat on his head? Yeah, maybe those trolls stole that hat. Maybe they took it and they ran off with it, you know, and he had to get it back. He's a pretty good runner. So all the cameras aimed right at Squeaky Toy. Boom! And Squeaky Toy looked up. He didn't know what to do. He stood up and he bowed. He said, Sumimasen. Oh, konnichiwa, what can I do for you? At that very moment, just as the cameras were on Squeaky Toy, just as they were about to beam Squeaky Toy, there's a whole world as a young kid that bounced the troll romp party. 3T said, I got it! And everybody stopped. And then 3T punched a button. Pew, and there came the audio. And the audio were all the trolls. And the trolls were yammering and yelling and screaming. And the whole everybody in Uncle Key's cafe said, what? And the cameramen stopped and they said, what? And the Major Hollyhill said, what? And then Curtis said, yippee, I got it. And he ran out, and you know what he had? He had the little memory chip that was in the camera, the pixelator telephoto camera. And he said, look, we can put this on screen. Marvel Raptrat stuck it in a little drive, and he started his slide player, and up on the screen, accompanied by the growl sounds of trolls, and GP saying, go away, you brutes. They'd throw something, you hear things hitting. All of a sudden, pictures came up. And the first pictures were the trolls. The trolls were tearing apart GP's Jeep. And the trolls were eating his lunch. The trolls were trying to put his clothes on and tearing them and throwing them away and trashing them. The trolls were pulling out his benches. Everybody in the restaurant said, huh? All of the cameras stopped looking at Squeaky Toy and started looking at the pictures of the trolls. And Uncle Key said, young man, nobody's ever taken pictures of trolls like this. Nobody's ever made a recording of trolls. Not many people know troll at all. I can't believe you did this. And GP said, well, I was up in a tree and there's not much I could do. And then the pictures of the trolls underneath started coming, and they started growling and coming, and you could see Grassy's ugly face, and his red, green, spiky hair, and red cheeks, and he was there with his knife, and he was cutting it, and he was throwing a spear. Oh, there's a picture of a spear. Boom! And it was like so exciting that all of the press, all of the reporters started talking to GP. And Major Ramses Hollyhill said, "Young man, you're going to be famous. There's nobody with pictures like this of a troll. What do you do?" And GP said, "Well, I'm a PhD student, and I was gonna do my PhD on ethnojournalism, and I was gonna interview the trolls." "Well, young man, this is quite an interview. Ha 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 ha! Oh my goodness!" And the pictures kept playing, and the audio kept playing, and GP motioned Curtis over to him. He said, "Curtis, young man, here, look." And he pulled out from his pocket the dynamic his ultra-sensitivity omnidirectional wireless mini microphones, right, which had been in the flowers and had been trashed by the trolls. But he pulled out what was left of it, and then he pulled out his virtual holographic video camera, and he pulled that out, and that was trashed, but I stepped on it and stomped it, and it was all broken and crushed. He looked at the young man and said, "Do you think you can do anything with these?" And Curtis said, "I'll take a look." And then he reached around and pulled out his Mega Mini helmet cam. And he said, "Look, here's the helmet cam. Do you think you can get anything off of this?" And Curtis said, "Let me look. Let me see." And he went back to the bar to start playing. And meanwhile, the reporters were asking GP all sorts of questions. They were looking at the pictures. They were listening to the audio. Then they sat him down and said, "We have to have an interview." And they shone their lights and put the cameras right into GP's face. And they interviewed him and made him talk. And he talked all about the trolls all over again. He talked all about the trolls. And he told them how they came, how they trashed, how they chased him into a tree, and then how Strong Bones had rescued him, and the little Japanese kid had chased after two when they stole his helmet cam and his helmet, and he trashed and he ran off. And then Strong Bones talked to the other one and told him to leave. And he did. And that's when he was safe. And the little kid came back, and they came back here. Oh, this was a story. And they started to write it down, you know. And, you know, GP didn't know this. But the next day, all over TV were pictures of his trolls. There were audio of the angry yells of Grassy and Rocky and the harsh laughter of Bernie as they threw sticks and stones at him. And you could see their faces. And his professors at Washington McGumption University saw that on TV. I said, "That's Gustav Panier. That's our student. Where did he get these? This is the ultimate of ethnojournalism. This is it. This is the best." And they were really, really excited because he had done something that nobody else had ever done. And so they couldn't wait to see him come back. But that was the next day. So that night, after the reporters had gone, they'd taken their story, they took their cameras down. They really didn't pay attention to Squeaky Toy anymore because GP was the hero. And Uncle Key said, "Okay, I have dinner ready. We're going to have wonderful dinner. We have fish. We have some beef. We have some potatoes. We have all sorts of good things. And we're going to put on a feast for you. And we're going to invite everybody from Apple Knoll. And you can tell your story again, GP." And so everybody came to dinner. Oh, my goodness. The whole town of Apple Knoll came. The Weakneys came. Strongbones' mom and dad came. That was Sweet Bones and Long Bones. And everybody was there, and they all had GP stand up on the performance platform and tell them the story again. And this was it. But fortunately for this time, 3T was smart enough to pull out his multimedia recorder, and he recorded the whole thing so that later when GP got back, he had his story all done and he could write it up. It was very good. So GP told the whole story again about the trolls and the trolls and the trolls. They took off. Meanwhile, Curtis was working on the dynamic decibel. He was working on the ultra-sensitivity omnidirectional wireless mini microphone and on the virtual holographic video camera. And he put them together, and he came up to GP when there was a break and while they were serving dinner, and he said, "GP, look, I think I have these together, and I've copied them onto this one little memory disk, and I think I was able to sync them. So I think you could actually show the trolls coming out of the glacier and you can hear them at the same time. I think they're synced and they're pretty good." So GP said, "Okay, then for dinner, we're going to watch a movie, a troll movie." And they did. And 3T helped him set it up, because 3T is pretty much of a programming genius here. He takes after his father and his mother. And Curtis, well, Curtis is a pretty good engineer. He takes after his father and his mother, probably. And so they put it together, and they started playing a movie. And the movie, while everybody was launching into their salads and eating their potatoes and eating their fresh fish from the glaciers, oh, it was a wonderful meal, and I could tell you all about it, but that's a different story. They watched the movie of the trolls. Well, GP thought he'd done a pretty good job telling about the trolls tearing into his Jeep, but I can tell you, everybody watching went, oh, when the trolls first emerged, and then the holographic camera captured the full 3D of the glacier, captured the trolls sneaking down, sneaking up to the Jeep, and then captured the trolls talking to each other, saying, well, that's sort of troll. But what it really means is, hey, look, some guy left this here. Huh, he must have left it for us. Ha, 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 ha. Let's have some fun. And then they started destroying things. So they couldn't see anything underneath the holographic camera, but every time they ran out with something else, they ran out with his basket of food and started eating his sandwiches and throwing the fruit. They came out with his seat and started tearing it apart. He could see him. And then the camera shook, and it shook, and it crashed, and it went dead. And then the sound, the microphones, and that was the end of the movie. Oh my goodness, it was so exciting. Everybody clapped. Yay for GP. Oh my goodness. Oh, this is great. Yo, whoa. And they were so excited. What a meal. It was a meal for a story. And I'll have to tell another story then. But man, anytime the meal ended, everybody said, time to go home. Time to go. And Taro O'Toole Talltale, Dr. O'Toole Talltale, said to Uncle Key, Uncle Key, we're going to have to come back because I got to get home. I got some sleepy children here, and I got a Margaret Maplethorne who has to open her store in the morning, and we got to get home. So I'm going to have to come back and talk to you about Ayatsuri Ningyo Robot. Maybe you can talk to him. I'll bring him back. And Uncle Key said, okay, you can do that. Come back. Come back again. I'd love to see you. Marvel Raptrack came up to GP and he slapped him on the back and said, hey, lad, you are pretty good with the trolls. Ha, that's pretty good. Why don't you come back? We can do some inventions together and I'll tell you about glaciers and trolls. Maybe we could take a ride in one of my helicopters or my airlight and we can fly all over the mountains and I'll show you stuff that nobody's ever seen. GP said, oh, okay, I can do that. And then he looked at Uncle Key and he said, well, Uncle Key, sir, I came up for an interview with you. Can I have an interview before I go? And Uncle T, for once, said, let's tell the truth. And he looked at GP and he said, no, you can't have an interview with me. Not right now, I'm too busy. But if you come back and you let me know when you're coming back, I'll give you an interview, I'll give you lunch. Oh, GP was so happy, so happy. And Taro O'Toole Talltale said, well, it's time to go, time to go. And GP said, oh, one more thing. Can I go down to that grocery store and buy a book? And Dr. O'Toole Talltale said, a book? No, I think the grocery store is closed. And Uncle Key looked over at Mr. Tuddy, and Mr. Tuddy said, store's closed. I'm not open until the morning. I'm too full to go there. GP said, oh, darn. Because there was this book. There was this book by this guy, Longfellow Strong, PhD. And it was all about trolls and society and stuff. And I think I better read that and maybe learn a little bit of troll before I come back. Everybody in the restaurant looked at Strongbone's father. Strongbone's father just put his hands up and said, Longfellow Bones, I wonder who that could be. And then Taro O'Toole Talltale stepped in and said, well, GP, would you like a ride home with us? Okay, I tell you what, I have a funny feeling that my little Ayatsuri Ningyo robot friend here has probably scanned that book in. And Squeaky Toy looked at her and said, yes, ma'am. And Taro O'Toole also said, and you could probably recite it to me all the way back home, couldn't you? And Squeaky Toy said, yes, ma'am. Taro O'Toole Talltale looked at him and said, well then, why don't you take my book? Because you might be able to use it. You can take it back to school and study it. I've got Squeaky Toy here. He can help me out. Everybody cheered. Yay, everybody was happy. And they all hugged and they all gave goodbye and then they all left to go home. And just before they left, just as GP was climbing into the car, Strongbones came up to him. And he tapped him on the shoulder and he gave him a hug. He said, "My man, Gustav, it was great to meet you. And as a matter of fact, I have something we need to talk about." GP looked at him and said, "What?" Strongbones said, "Glubb's Law." GP said, "What do you mean, Glubb's Law?" "Well, Glubb's Law is simply this, that if a human has his stuff destroyed by trolls, regardless of the age, who have not been certified on a hunting pack and not been allowed to go out to hunt, then that human can have anything he wants from the Mr. Glubb's storehouse to make up for what he lost." Gustav Pontier said, "Really? Really? That's his law?" GP said, "That's his law, because trolls tend to be a little rambunctious, and unless he has control over them, they do really, really strange things. And, you know, humans can take so much, but when humans get mad, trolls lose. And Mr. Glubb knows this, so he's been trying to keep the peace and only let them out to steal stuff like they need, like come in Mr. Tutty's food trucks. So we have to go see Mr. Glubb." GP said, "Really?" Strongbones said, "Yes." And he gave him another big hug, and GP climbed in the car, clutching his book, and just at the very last minute, out ran Curtis. And Curtis held the Digicam helmet to GP. And he said, Mr. GP, you're going to forget your helmet. And GP looked at his helmet cam, and then Curtis held up a little memory disc. And he said, "I have it all. I have it all from your helmet cam." GP gave him a big grin, and he put it in his pocket. And everyone was happy. And then Taro Tool Tall Tale headed back to Skedaddle. Uncle Key closed the restaurant and headed to bed. Marvel Rap Track drove home and played with his monkeys and went to bed. And Strongbones walked home with his family, with his cousin Weakknees, and they were all really happy. And then his father looked at Strongbones and said, "Strongbones, you did a good job today." And Strongbones said, "Thanks, Dad." And that's the end of the story. And Mr. William, Master William, I hope you enjoyed this story. I hope you enjoy many more, because I have more to come. But, this is not the total end, because there is an epilogue. And I will tell you that before this story is done. Have a good night, William. Hug your little sister. Hug your mom and dada. And tell them that we all love you and you're so special. Good night.